The Everything Home Podcast is brought to you by Helping the People. We're a real estate company, home resource center, and nonprofit organization that's disrupting the home buying and selling experience by providing relationship-based real estate with a socially conscious purpose. We match home buyers and sellers with our preferred realtors, and 25% of their commission is donated to our Homes for Veterans program, which financially assists veterans who want to buy a home or need home improvements for their service-connected injuries. We created this program as a way for Americans to honor the men and women of the United States military for their service to our nation and the sacrifices they've made. So if you're looking to buy a home or it's time to sell yours, please give us a call at 833-694-6636 or visit our website at helpingthepeople.org. Not only will you be working with our realtors who are among the top 1 to 5% in Arizona and the greater San Diego area, you'll be changing the life of a veteran while we change yours. That's 833-694-6636 and helpingthepeople.org. We look forward to you becoming a part of our very unique community.
Welcome to Everything Home, where we talk about life, stuff, and balance. Your home is the base for everything in your life, from the structure and contents to what goes on inside and within yourself. To make sure this foundation is solid as can be, we invite a special guest to share something you will find enlightening, inspiring, and entertaining. Now here's your host, Michelle Swinnick. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Everything Home, where we talk about life, stuff, and balance. And we wanted to showcase various nonprofit organizations who are doing some amazing work. So why not start with Man's Best Friend? Our guest is Melissa Gable with Foothills Animal Rescue in Scottsdale, Arizona. How are you today, Melissa?
I am great, Michelle. How are you this morning?
I am wonderful, and I know that you are sitting in an absolutely gorgeous facility up there.
Well, I sure am. I'm very fortunate to be here. We have a beautiful facility. We just celebrated our first anniversary. We're up in the DC Ranch area of North Scottsdale, and it truly is an absolutely beautiful shelter.
For those of you who are familiar with the area, it's in the same parking lot as the new VIG. From the outside, it looks very similar. Didn't you have an issue where someone came and was asking for a table instead of looking for a puppy?
Yeah, it's not unusual for us to have people wander in and ask for, you know, a table for two, because it is a beautiful facility, and it doesn't look like most animal shelters. And so a lot of people do come by. They have the address. They will literally call us from the parking lot and say, you know, I'm here, but I can't find you guys. And they're sitting right in front of the building because it looks almost like a museum. It's that beautiful.
They tell me, we'll say, well, I'm not sure if the animal's going to feel comfortable because the facility is nicer than my home.
Yeah, we have had adopters kind of say, you know, I'm a little not too sure if the dog or cat's going to be as happy in my house as they are here because, you know, we're a small facility, but because we're small, we're also able to provide truly individualized care and attention for each specific animal. And we really focus a lot of our efforts on making them as comfortable as possible and as stress-free as possible while they're here.
Well, since you just celebrated the year anniversary, I'm sure you've got some interesting stories. The Foothills Animal Rescue started and then how you ended up being at your facility then now. So why don't you give everybody kind of a background and bring us up to date on where things are, what's going on with the organization?
Yeah, we actually started back in 1995, and at the time we were, you know, a small organization. So a lot of the work that was done was actually facilitated through foster homes. So we would take in animals, and we didn't have a facility, so they would go out into the community into a foster home, and then on the weekends we would have, you know, special events outside of PetSmart or Petco, and people could adopt the animals from there. Then several years ago we did move move into kind of our first building. It's actually at Pima and Pinnacle Peak Road in Scottsdale, and that allowed us a little more freedom. People could come and actually see the animals, but we still relied really heavily on those mobile adoption events to just get our faces out in the community. And then several years ago, we also were very fortunate to meet the Smith family, who reached out to us and had expressed interest in building a shelter. And, you know, fast forward, and here we are. So it's we haven't been around that long, but we've made some tremendous progress, especially, I'd say, in the last 5 to 7 years is really when we've started to really become a big agency and really start to make an impact in the community.
Let's talk about, how do these animals get to you? Why are they coming? And what happens once they're in there? How are they finding their homes?
Sure. You know, what we really want to do is work collaboratively with all the other rescue groups within our community. We have so many different amazing rescue agencies here in Maricopa County and really across the whole state. So what we're doing is our primary focus is, how can we help those shelters that are overcrowded, that don't have room, that have to euthanize if they don't have space? And so we actually take a lot of our dogs and cats from other overcrowded shelters. We try to focus, if we can, if at all possible, within our county, if we're, you know, struggling to find just the right animals that would fit in well at our facility, then we will expand and look at other shelters within the state. We've also been approached by shelters in other states, and in fact in Mexico as well, because they see our facility, they see us online, and they want their animals to come here because they know it's a beautiful facility and the animals are going to be well cared for and, you know, adopted on a, you know, fairly quickly. So our primary focus is to help other shelters. We do also take in owner surrenders. So if you are moving, or you know, someone becomes terminally ill and cannot care for their animals anymore, we do work with those folks on a case-by-case basis, because it really just, we do have some special requirements, especially for the dogs. You know, we want to make sure that everyone gets along with other animals, and so it's more in that regard, a conversation with the owner to discuss the animal and the animal's needs and whether or not it would be an appropriate fit for the shelter. But if we can help them, we certainly will.
You brought up that you're doing exchanging and you're interacting with different organizations in Maricopa County. Let's talk some statistics about what's going on here with the rescue population, because you would think that in 2018, the human being would be a little bit more responsible.
No, I see what you're saying. And the reality is, we can't build ourselves out of this problem. So it doesn't matter how many shelters we build and how many, you know, animal welfare agencies there are. The reality is, this probably isn't going to go away anytime soon. And, you know, as a result, you've got shelters and rescue groups that are overcrowded, that are scrambling to try and help these animals. But it just seems like a never-ending cycle. And I will say, having been in animal welfare for about 20 years now, when I first got involved and I was working at Arizona Humane Society, there were probably between Humane and Maricopa County Animal Care and Control probably close to 100,000 animals coming into both of those shelters on a yearly basis. And that number, you know, fast forward 20 years, has decreased substantially. So I don't want to make it sound like it's not getting better, because it is. But, you know, Animal Care and Control is still taking in 35, 36,000 dogs and cats a year. And they don't have the resources to be able to care for that vast number of animals. And you've got organizations like Foothills Animal Rescue that wants to step up and help, but our space is limited. So it really does become an issue of, how can the public help? What can the public do to combat the problem? And certainly you brought up a good point with spay and neuter. Let's cut down on pet homelessness by not having so many homeless pets. And, you know, these days there are so many resources for folks who do need to get their pets altered. There are a lot of low-cost clinics. I know Humane Society offers it. I know Altered Tails offers low-cost spay-neuter. There are a lot of resources to pet owners now. And if you can't afford it, there's also those resources as well with agencies and groups that will provide surgery at no cost, especially for folks that are going through a difficult time financially. So, you know, I think that that's one of the first things that we can do. And I think another thing that's really simple is to encourage our friends and family, instead of going out and purchasing a dog or a cat, visit your local shelter. There are so many animals in shelters, and the myth that you're only going to find, you know, pit bulls and chihuahuas, yeah, you'll find a lot of them. Those are the two most common breeds in shelters in Arizona. But there are also other animals, and pit bulls and chihuahuas actually are really good pets. So, you know, give your shelter a chance. Go down, take a look, and who knows, you might fall in love with something that you can adopt from a shelter. And in that case, you're saving that animal's life, and then you're also opening up a space or a kennel or a doggy suite for another animal that's coming in off of the streets, and you're giving a space for that pet. So you're saving two lives and not just one.
Problem with the old stigmatism that's maybe attached, like you said, is the type of dogs and cats that are at these facilities. There's behavioral issues, or it's abused, so it's not trained, and it doesn't interact with other animals. But that's not the case. It sounds like when someone has had the dog for a long time and had to give it up because of the move or the interaction, like a new child or an illness, the dog's ready to go. So you just don't know until you go there and kind of see.
Exactly. And a lot of the, you know, some of the animals that come to us, sure, we don't know their history because they came to another shelter as a stray and they didn't know their history. So a lot of it we may not know, but then there are animals that come in that, you know, an owner for whatever reason cannot keep them. And I think that sometimes it's really easy for us to walk into a shelter and judge and just say, you know, oh, how could someone give that dog away? That's the cutest dog ever. I can't believe it. What a horrible person. You don't know that person's story. You know, we have people that come in and they're in tears because, you know, their mother is dying and she can't keep her dog or her cat. And so they're relying on us to rehome that animal. And, you know, so I would ask that when you come into a shelter, it is very easy to judge, but don't. Instead, focus on that animal and what we can do to help the animal. We have some great dogs and cats here right now that were in homes, that are house trained, that know some. We just learned one of our dogs yesterday. We were taking photos, and he can sit, he can shake, and he knows down. And it was like, wow, he already knows these commands, and he's eager to learn more. And so, yeah, you never know what you're going to find at a shelter. And I would say talk to the staff, talk to the volunteers. Those are the people that are interacting the most with the animals. And if you're looking for something in particular, that's one of the things that I really like about Foothills is as people come into our facility, they're greeted and they're, you know, hey, what are you looking for? Oh, I'm looking for a dog. Oh, tell us a little bit about your family and your lifestyle and how active are you? And we're trying to get information about those potential adopters so that we can match them with the right pets. And knowing that, you know, it's not 100% guaranteed, there's still that chance that an animal might come back. But we want to try and do our best up front to make that match a good solid match so that the adopter is happy and that the pet is happy.
I wanted to give you a compliment because I went up there about 2 weeks ago to check it out. No one knew that I was coming or who I was and that I was going to be having this conversation with you. But when I walked in, everybody was so nice and really helpful. And everything that you just said about how they communicate and ask questions and try to get to know the owner on what the owner is looking for, someone else was in the lobby before me, and that's exactly what was going on. It's very well run. It's very organized. And I think that is probably a large reason why you guys are so successful in placing the animals and making sure that they're into the right homes and there's a good match and other organizations want to work with you and give you their animals, because you guys really do a wonderful job making sure that the transition and the match is done so there's success from both sides.
Yeah, we really do. And one of the things that I love about our shelter is the fact that we take photos of all of the families with their new pets. And we have an internal, for lack of a better term, like texting system that we use that goes to all employees. And so whenever a dog or a cat is adopted, we get a notification and there's, you know, a photo of the pet with their new family and everyone's happy and smiling. And it makes all of us feel really good because we know that, okay, this one's going to a great home. And in a lot of cases, we stay in touch with the family. You know, we ask for follow-up photos that we can put on Facebook and Instagram and to share with our volunteers or the foster families. You know, we have families that take care of these animals that were maybe too small to go up for adoption or maybe they were sick and they couldn't stay at the shelter. So we'll send them to a foster home. You get really attached to a dog or cat that has been staying in your house. And so it's nice for us to tell the foster parents, hey, FYI, you know, King got adopted and here's a picture of him with his new family. And it makes them feel good knowing that they helped get that animal into a good home with a loving family.
When I was up at the facility, I was having some interesting conversation and the stories that they were telling me about the animals, it's almost like a little mini series, like a little drama, instead of Real Housewives of Scottsdale, it's like Real Adopted Pets of Scottsdale. They told me two stories. There was one about the cat and how it was able to open the doors. And I think your friend might have adopted that cat.
Yes.
So do you want to kind of give a little bit of the story on that? Because I mean, I was laughing so hard. And they're so animated with telling these stories, but it was one after the next. And I said, these are animals, right? Because it sounds like this is some TV movie drama series that I should be watching on Bravo. It's funny stuff, you know?
Yes. No. So that was, in that case, that was Tigger, was his name here. And we discovered that our cats, we pride ourselves in not having cages for our animals. So our dogs are in doggy suites. You're not going to see bars at our shelter. Our cats are in community cat rooms. So instead of being in individual kennels, they're in a large room with other cats. And we have a front room in our lobby that we call like our feature pet. And so that's usually where we keep some of our kitties. And Tigger was in that room. And we discovered that he could figure out how to open the door. And so Vivian, one of our staff members, was here late one night. She was making copies, and she heard this noise, and she turned around, and here comes this cat. So she puts him back in his room, goes back to making her copies, comes back a little bit later, and here he comes again, only now he's brought a friend. So he's, like, busted out all the other cats in the cat room. So my friend Minnie Solace, who is actually a DJ at one of the radio stations in town, I'd done a couple of shows with her, and she had told me she was ready for another kitty because hers had passed away. And so she came in, and she was of the opinion of, I'm not going to pick my cat. My cat is going to pick me. And so that's the nice thing about having these cat rooms is you just go in and you sit down and you see what happens. And in this case, Tigger, of all cats, came up to her. And all the other cats were interested in her, but he would not leave her alone. And so she said, okay, I think I know who I want. And she pointed to him, and I went, oh, boy, he's kind of naughty. And she's like, well, what do you mean? And I said, he can get out of stuff. Like, he opens this room. And so she's like, I love it. I'm going to take him. So we put them in these cardboard cat carriers in order to get them, you know, from the shelter to their home. And so she sent me a video, and I was dying because it literally is, the first picture is a little tiny hole that's been chewed out of the cardboard, and then like the next picture is his head through the hole, and the next picture is the box like wide open, and he's sitting on her dashboard. She had to pull over on her way home and call her sister and ask her sister to bring her a cat carrier to put him in. And then what's so funny with Minnie is she continues to document like his stories, and so she will send us videos that we've put on our Facebook page that are kind of the adventures of this cat, because he just is a riot. He actually ran so hard into her closet door, he cracked the mirror. But she loves him, absolutely loves him. And that's the thing. He might not have been a great fit for another family because he's pretty rambunctious. Right. But with just the right family, that naughty kind of mischievous behavior is something that she loves. That's one of the things that she loves so much about him. So, yeah, we do have it's pretty adventurous to come to work sometimes. In fact, just today, right, the reason I didn't help, so our shelter manager came in and said, hey, can you help me? And I said, well, I've got an interview in a couple minutes. And one of my coworkers said, yeah, I can help you. What's up? Well, there's a cat in the wellness center that I can't find. It's like somehow she figured out how to get out, and she was sitting on top of her little area there. So they found her right away. But, yeah, you don't know what they're doing at night when no one's around, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's like they escape, and then they bring their friends. It's like you could just picture them in the park. Oh, come on, guys. We're going. Let's go.
Exactly. You know? Like Mission Impossible.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
but it's with
lower
the cats,
down
and I just,
on the
little
rope.
Outfits. It would be interesting to just kind of observe them at night and see what kind of chaos they do, especially if they're escaping. So people understand. Go back to that cat for a second. Those doors aren't like a typical door in the houses here in Arizona. The bedroom doors, they're really, really light. That brush up against it, you can open the door. They had maneuvered so it was like a plan. Like somebody got the door handle done, but then the other people had to push at the same time. So it was
seriously,
like, it was coordinated.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not easy, especially if you're a cat and you don't have fingers to open those doors, but he managed how to do it. And repeatedly, it was like he figured out the secret and then, okay, now I know exactly what to do. And he just continued to do it. And it was funny because he would stroll in to the office like nothing was wrong. Like he was supposed to be out in the lobby with everyone else. And you would pick him up and he wouldn't fuss. He wouldn't care that he'd have to go back in his room. But it was just kind of like, yeah, I'm out. I'm just going to walk around for a little bit. Oh, you have to pick me up and put me back. Okay, it's fine. You know, he was just really nonchalant and chill about the whole thing, which made it even funnier.
People have always said that the person's cat either looks like him or has a similar personality. So I'm assuming that your friend and this cat are similar. That's why they do get along. So he and her are perfect together.
True.
You notice that when people come in and pick the pet, do they kind of look the same? Because sometimes I'll be seeing people in the neighborhood walking, dog and person. It's not like they're twins or anything, but I mean,
right,
they've got similar hair coloring, or they got that, the face looks the same, or the body type is the same. And sometimes I just laugh as I see them go by and I'm like, oh God, there's another one. And then, you know, a lot of the times they're on clockwork when it comes to walking the pet. So I'm like, ooh, it's so-and-so. I've just got to make sure that I lift my head up so I can watch, just because it's just a little funny thing that goes on during the day. Do you see that a lot when you see someone come in and you know what animals that are in there and you're like, okay, I know so-and-so is going to like Scruffy because it looks like they look the same. So do you guys kind of,
profile?
You got to have fun with this, but there's so much material to work with, you know?
You know, I would didn't say much physical, but what you were saying with personality, it's funny how someone can come in the door and you just get a sense for their personality. You're like, oh, I know who would be perfect for you. And funny story, last week, gentleman walks into the shelter and I happened to be up front. So I, you know, asked him what he was looking for. His daughter was having a birthday in May. And so he's going to start kind of looking for a dog. They don't have a dog. So I was like, well, okay, tell me a little bit about your family. And he said, well, we're kind of reptilian. And I looked at him like, what are you talking about? He goes, well, we have a turtle. I was like, oh, okay. And he's like, that's our only pet. And, you know, we want a dog. So I'm like, all right, well, let's go walk through because we're really an active family. Oh, and my wife might be allergic, so I have to kind of be, you know, cognizant of that. So I'm like, okay, I think I have a good dog in mind. And this was not planned. I walk him to this dog. Her name was Annabelle. And we have on each dog's suite, we have the dog's photo, their age, their breed. And then if we know some information about them, we do like a little bio. And so the first line in her bio, and I swear I did not know this. I'm like, well, here's Annabelle. I think she would be great. And I'm reading her card. I'm like, she's, you know, 3 years old. She's a poodle mix. And let's see what her bio says. And the first line says, I'm kind of like a turtle. And I looked at him and his eyes got really big. He's like, no, you totally planned this. I'm like, I swear to you, I had no idea. And we were dying. I'm like, I swear to you, I did not know what this said. And she did get adopted, not by him, because they're not in the ready to adopt stage. He wanted to come in and introduce himself, and I know what he's looking for. So, you know, if something just perfect comes in, I'll certainly reach out to him. But it was so funny because it was like, oh my gosh, you just said you have a turtle and this dog has been described as a turtle. And in like 20 years of animal welfare, I've never heard a dog described as a turtle. So it was pretty awesome.
Say to them, we're that good. Like, see, that's how good we are. We can match you up with a conversation. Boom. And I got a dog for you.
Exactly.
You could just here, take this guy home right now. Because of the type of facility that you guys are and the interaction, do you guys need more volunteers? I mean, because even if somebody didn't want to get another pet, or maybe that's not what they're interested in, but yet they wanted to be in that atmosphere as a volunteer capacity. So are you looking for more volunteers to help out at the facility?
Always. And we get a lot of calls from families. And so to volunteer, you have to be at least 16 years of or older. And we have a multitude of duties. You know, if you are a cat person, then we need folks to come in and help clean our cat rooms, and then also to socialize them, which we have a volunteer, Tom. He literally comes in and lays on the floor in the cat room, and that's what he does. And the cat, you'll walk by.
Is that okay, or is that something where he's be supervised? Or, is it like a fetish of his? I mean, is it okay?
The first time I walked by, I was like, oh my gosh, is that man okay? Did he fall? Yeah. And they're like, oh no, that's Tom. He always does that. And
he loves those kitties.
He will lay on the floor and they will just, and they gravitate to him. So they will climb on him, they'll lay down, they'll just sit next to him, and they feel really comfortable with him being there. And it's the cutest thing. So, you know, you can come in and you can socialize the cats. You can come in. We have two shifts. We have a shift in the morning and then a late afternoon shift. And during those times, that's when the volunteers are here walking the dogs. And, you know, we're taking them for a decent walk. It's not just like a little, you know, walk a couple of feet. It's, you know, it could be up to a half mile, depending on the dog and the volunteer. But we also have a play yard that's a big fenced-in play yard, and the dogs get out there every single day. So you can go out and help with the dogs in the play yard. If you want to help outside of the shelter, then you can help us at our adoption events. We still do go out into the community every Friday and Saturday and do mobile adoption events, and we always need help with those. So you could help with that. And then, of course, one of our biggest needs still is fostering. So, you know, because we are limited in our size, if we have an opportunity to take a dog or a cat that we know would be perfect for our shelter, but we don't have space, then we always need foster families that are willing to step up and take that animal for a couple of weeks until space becomes available. Or, you know, maybe we get a litter of puppies or kittens that aren't quite ready to go up for adoption. They're still a little too small. So we will send them to a foster home. And then once they're big enough, then they come back to the shelter and they go up for adoption, or they go to an adoption event and go up for adoption. So there's a lot of different ways that you can help. And whether that's in the shelter or outside of the shelter, there are still ways that you can make a difference.
So fostering, you have to know what you're doing to be a foster for a dog or a cat. You're not really an animal person, but you want to give it a try. It's not like you went and rented it for a week or two. I mean, because these animals, you know what I mean? It's not like, hey, let's give it a try. I'll give it for a week. Right. I get to give it back. So I'm technically a foster person. Let's just see if I can do like a dry run with the animal. In order to be foster, you already have to know how to do those things, because the animals, like you said, they're not ready for prime time to go out into. So they're in that transition period where maybe they need a
and
little help.
It really depends on the particular animal. So if you are a seasoned pet owner, you know, maybe we can give you a more of a challenging type of situation. There's a huge difference between fostering a litter of kittens that are 6 weeks old and eating on their own, as opposed to fostering a litter of kittens that are 6 days old and need to be bottle fed. You know, that is not something that just everyone can do. I can't do it. I prefer to sleep all night. I don't want to get up in the middle of the night and feed a litter of kittens. But there are people that are like, you know, die hard, I'm going to do this. And they're amazing. I my hat is off to those folks. I'm one of the ones that'll foster the six-week-old kittens that can eat on their own, you know, and by then they're running around and getting into things. And that might not be something that, you know, someone wants to deal with. They don't want kittens climbing up their curtains and scratching their couch. So it really just depends on the person and, you know, what they can or cannot handle, what they're willing to deal with and whatnot. So we do, again, it's very individualized. It's not just, okay, you're a foster, you just have to suck it up and take whatever we give you. It's not like that. We will actually work with our fosters and make sure it's a good match.
Well, it sounds like you probably don't have a lot of returns. I have a feeling that once somebody gets the dog home, that there's all of a sudden there that connection starts. You most of them probably just keep going forward with the adoption process.
Right. We don't have a lot that do come back. And if they do come back, you know, our philosophy is we would rather have them come back and give them another shot as opposed to staying in a home where it's not a good fit. And maybe they're not comfortable or the adopter isn't comfortable. So we'd much rather see an animal come back to us as opposed to going to another shelter, you know, and surrendering the dog or cat at another shelter and not telling us. Or because, again, we bond with these animals, and so if it's not going well, we would prefer them to come back to us, and we're not going to judge and hold it against you if you can't keep the dog or cat for whatever reason. We just want them to come back, and we'll work on finding them a different home.
Right now, how many dogs and how many cats do you have at the facility?
We probably have, I'd say, 20 dogs. Not all of those are currently available. We have, probably... There's more cats than that because it's not just the cats that are here at our shelter. We also do cat adoptions at the Petco on Indian Bend and the Loop 101, and then the Petco in Fountain Hills. And then we are in the PetSmart store on Deer Valley and 27th Avenue in Phoenix. And those three partnerships have really been successful because the cats actually stay at the stores and they're there overnight, and their associates at the store actually care for them and facilitate the adoptions. And so that has enabled us to do many more cat adoptions. In fact, the funny thing when I started here was kind of unheard of, but we do more cat adoptions than we do dog adoptions, which is kind of odd in the shelter world because usually it's the dog adoptions. But part of that is also because we have cats all over the valley. You know, we have cats in different locations. It's not just the one shelter facility where the cats are located.
Since you brought up Petco and PetSmart, are all the animals that are in those pet stores, are they all rescues, or some of them are old school type of pet stores where, what do they call those breeder places that are just the really bad ones, like where they're mass producing them?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it used to be. I mean, years and years and years ago.
So, right.
But are they all rescue animals that are in some of these
pet stores? Yeah, pretty much. You know, Petco and PetSmart and a lot of the pet supply stores really shifted years ago with regard to the dog and cats that they have at their stores. And they opened their doors to rescue groups, animal shelters, and that's a really, really good outlet for, there are some amazing rescue groups in town, and not all of them have the luxury that we have of having a shelter. It's expensive to have a shelter. And so for those groups, being in those Petco and those PetSmart and those pet clubs and being at those locations, that's their shelter, for lack of a better term. That's how they're getting seen. That's their visibility. And so by these stores allowing these groups to bring animals and put them up for adoption, it really is making a difference, not just for the animal, but again, for that rescue group, because it's also giving them some visibility. And especially, you know, if it's a breed-specific rescue and someone is looking for a poodle, oh, well, here's poodle rescue, and they're out here doing adoptions, or here's, you know, Boston Terrier Rescue doing adoptions, and Boxer Love. And, you know, there's all these breed-specific groups that can go out, and if someone's looking for a particular type of dog or cat, There's probably a breed-specific rescue, and a lot of them don't have a shelter, and so it's good for them to be able to go to these local supply stores and do adoptions from them. So we're extremely grateful to PetSmart and Petco and all of the partners out there that allow us to do adoptions from their locations.
Well, it's nice that everyone's working together, and there's interaction, and there's communication, and there's a lot of resources. If there's anyone that needs to put up their dog or their cat for adoption, there's so many places for you to go. Obviously, they can take them to your facility, but if for some reason the dog or the cat's not compatible there, or however, there's so many resources. So I want people to be aware that there's many opportunities to go down the right path. They're all there. You just got to open your eyes and do a little homework to make sure that doing the right thing. So let's talk about the process for somebody who they have an animal that they need to give up. And then if somebody's looking to adopt, what do they do? And then how does that work?
If you have a cat that you need to rehome, then we always recommend reaching out to us. Give us a call. We are generally full. You know, we're a limited admission, limited intake facility. We don't euthanize for space. I don't like to use the term no-kill. That seems kind of dated and it's kind of harsh. So, you know, basically what we refer to ourselves as an adoption guarantee facility, meaning that the animals are with us as long as they need to be until they find a home. There are some instances where a cat or a dog may have an illness that we're unaware of, and, we will treat them. We will do everything that we can in our power. But in some cases, if it's something that cannot be fixed, we will euthanize because it's the humane thing to do. That doesn't happen very often. Generally, you know, our outcomes are always very positive, and the animals stay indefinitely. But because of that, that means that, you know, we usually are pretty full or close to full. So we always ask folks, if you need to rehome your kitty, give us a call. We do have a waiting list, and we can put you on the waiting list. And we do go through it every day. And, you know, it could be a week. It could be 2 weeks. It could be a day. You never know until, you know, we're able to make space if it's an appropriate fit for our facility. As far as dogs, we've started something new where you can go to our website, which is foothillsanimal.org. And if you click on the resources tab, there's actually a dog surrender form. And that will... we ask you to answer some basic questions for us and then attach a photo. And then, again, our staff looks at that daily to see if it would be a good fit. And if so, then the next step would be to come into the facility so that we can actually meet your dog in person, do an evaluation. For us, it's really important that the dogs get along with other dogs. We community house our dogs. There's, you know, your dog might have a roommate today, get along really well, that roommate gets adopted, and a new roommate could come in. And so we want to make sure that everyone's going to get along. So that's probably our number one criteria, especially with the doggies, is make sure that everyone gets along. But so there are resources. And if we are full, we also will refer folks to other organizations in town that we know may or may not be able to help as well. So we do try to do what we can to help when it comes to rehoming pets.
What if I'm looking to adopt a dog? I go to the facility,
sure.
And then how does that work?
So you come in, and again, you're going to be greeted, and we're going to ask you what it is you're looking for, and then we'll take you through, and we'll let people walk through on their own, too. We have 8 doggy suites, and generally there's more than one dog in a suite. And you can come in. You don't need to make an appointment. We are open every day of the week except Mondays. We're open from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. So just come in at any point during that time. If you need a little guidance, we're happy to guide you, or if you just want to come in and walk through and see what you can see. If there's a dog or a cat that you want to meet, then we will have you fill out a quick little form, and then our volunteers or our staff will, take the dog out into the play yard or let you go into the community cat room and just spend some time with the animal, because that's the key, is we want to make sure that it's not just that you like the animal, but that the animal likes you. There have been instances where a dog is clearly not a fan of the person that wants to adopt them, and we will steer that adopter in a different direction then, because again, we want to do what's best for the animals.
Yeah, I'm sure there's been times where the dog or the cat's like, I don't like that person, so give me somebody else.
And you know what?
You have to
that's
be aware
okay
of that.
Because People, you know, humans do the same thing. There are certain people we really like, and sometimes there's people we don't like. So, yeah, we don't want to force something, you know, if it's not organic and it's the dog is not, you know, maybe that person resembles someone that the dog knew prior to and didn't have a good experience with. So we want to make sure that, you know, that it's a good fit and that the dog's happy.
Is there a cost that the adoptive person has to pay or any of the logistics like that?
Yeah, so our adoption fees range in price. So for our adult cats over 6 months of age, it's just $50. For cats under 6 months of age, it's $100. For our puppies, which are under 6 months of age, it's $200. If it's a dog that is over between 6 months and 6 years, that's $175. And then over 6 years is $125. All of our dogs and cats are spayed or neutered prior to going home. They're all microchipped, and they're also on their vaccinations. And that's all included in the adoption fee. And then also all of our cats are tested for feline leukemia. You get quite a bit with that adoption fee. So it's actually a really good deal. And, you know, you're getting a companion. So
that's the nice thing. Everything's done. The shots are taken care of. It's spayed or neutered. It has the chip in it. You could just go enjoy your new pet, bring home your new family member.
And with regard to the microchip, we are actually the ones that are going to register that information with the chip company as well. Because sometimes you'll get a microchip and then you have to go through the registration process and call the company and give them your information. We do all that for you. So truly, you know, you're right. It is pretty much done. When you take this dog or cat from here, you just need to take him home and give him lots of love. So,
which is wonderful because now you're bringing a whole new adventure into your home. All of the other stuff, the heavy lifting is already done. So you can just basically get used to having your new friend there. So I think that's wonderful that you guys have taken all that hard work out of the picture. So the person could just focus on the actual animal, which is wonderful.
Exactly. Yep.
So you have an event coming up to do some fundraising. Is that correct?
We do. Yes. So it is Paws to Celebrate, which is on Saturday, March 24th. It's from 6 to 9 p.m. And this is a great event because it's held here at our shelter. So it's an opportunity to not only do some fundraising and benefit the animals in our care, you actually get to see the animals in our care. And so we have food stations that are set up throughout the facility. We have auction tables set up. And you're actually, you know, mingling amongst the community cat rooms and the dog suites, and you're going to be, you know, we're going to have tables set up in our play yard and out on our patio. And so it's a good opportunity to actually see the shelter, and it's absolutely stunning at night. So that is a Saturday. It's just a couple weeks away. We do still have seats. Seating is limited because the size of our facility, but there are still seats available. So if anyone is interested in joining us, we would love to have them. And it's foothillsanimal.org. And if you just click on our events, you'll see Paws to Celebrate. You can get your tickets there. And then in the next week or so, we're also going to have all of our auction items online. So if for some reason you can't come to the event, you can still bid on the auction items and help in that way.
We're going to have their website on ours. Anybody is interested, there's no way we can't find you. So we're going to make it easy to find you guys. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention about the shelter or any future events? This way, all the information's out there for anybody who's really interested.
Yeah, thanks. You know, the one thing we haven't talked about is we've talked about all of our pet-related stuff, but we also have a resale boutique, and that boutique is actually located where our old shelter was. The exact address is 23030 North Pima Road in Scottsdale, and that's Pima and Pinnacle Peak. And the resale boutique just underwent a remodel last year. It's expanded. There's home furnishings, there's clothes, there's pet supplies. I mean, it really is a beautiful boutique and you know, I always say thrift store, but really resale boutique is a fitting term because it is very pretty, and you wouldn't know that your you know, at a thrift store per se. So that is open to the public. You can stop in, and anything that you purchase, obviously, that money is benefiting the animals in our care. And then if you also have items that you know, gently used items that you can't use, or you want to, rehome your personal items, we do take those at the boutique as well. So that's another way that you can help without having to, you know, maybe your house is full and you can't adopt any more animals, but you still want to help and you don't have time to volunteer, consider donating some items to the boutique, because then you're still helping the animals in a different way.
And what are the cross streets again for the boutique?
It's Pima and Pinnacle Peak in Scottsdale.
Okay. A lot of these boutique retail stores, they have some amazing things. So it makes you wonder, God, why am I priced at that store when I can go into a lot of these other ones, get a discount, get something totally different, unique, maybe made out of real wood for a change. And then, you know, it's not like particle board, but like some of the stuff in the stores. And you're helping a great organization at the same time. Like you said, it just requires just a little bit of different thought process, changes in the way that we do certain things. Our buying decisions are affecting somebody else, but we're still getting exactly what we needed in the first place. It's great to know that you have that as another resource in order to support the organization. And of course, if anybody ever wants to donate, you are there with open arms for any donations.
Yes, definitely. And you can, monetary donations, you can give online, you can drop off at the shelter. You can also drop off donations of unopened dog or cat food. You know, we have a very specific diet for the animals here in our care, but we take donations of any kind of dog or cat food as long as it's unopened, because we also pay it forward. We work with a couple of the food banks in town that are specific to pet food, so pet food banks, and they will distribute to pet owners that are struggling and going through difficult times. So if there's something we can't use, it's either going to go up to the boutique, or we will work with the pet food pantries, and we just want to make sure nothing goes to waste. Even if it's something that can't be used here at the shelter, we can find someone somewhere that can use it.
That's another great thing that you are doing, is networking and working with some of these other organizations. So you're almost like a resource for anyone that might not know what to do with the donations or a certain pet or what they're looking for.
Yeah, we're very collaborative. We understand we aren't the only shelter in town, nor do we want to be. And we can't work in a vacuum, and we can't do it by ourselves. So, we've got friends all over the place. And hey, if we can't take your cat, hey, have you tried our friends at Arizona Animal Welfare League? Have you tried Arizona Humane? We will refer to the other groups in town. This is not a competition. this is us all having to work together and be friends and be good partners and do what we can to help each other, because in the end, it's the animals. We're all here for the animals. We're not here for us. We're here for those homeless pets. And if we can't help them, but someone else can, why wouldn't we, find a way to help that dog or cat? So our Bryn Smith Memorial Campus and Adoption Center, that is our shelter, named after an absolutely beautiful young lady whose life was taken from us way too soon. Her family reached out to us, created this amazing facility in Bryn's honor, and it's a way for her legacy to live on. So that address for that facility is 10197 East Bell Road in Scottsdale. We're at Bell Road and Thompson Peak Parkway. And then also our resale boutique at 23030 North Pima Road in Scottsdale. Our website, which has all this information on it, including photos of our adoptable pets, is foothillsanimal.org. And then if you have any questions about anything, you can give us a call at 480-488-9890.
And your event is this Saturday, March 24th. And the information is also on your website if somebody wanted to attend that or support in any way.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, Melissa, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I hope that somebody learned something. Maybe they're going to show up, be interested in bringing home one of these little guys. Any way that we could support you with awareness, and we're going to have your information on our website, so that way anybody can just click, click, click and be able to get in touch with you.
Michelle, thank you so much for thinking of us and for coming out and visiting and giving me the opportunity to talk a little bit more about Foothills Animal Rescue.
Oh, you're welcome. And we'll have you on in a couple months, and we can do a little follow-up call so we can get a few fun animal stories. There's always an adventure going on up there. So it's something that we could bring a little humor to the listeners. Just a little cat chaos. Yeah. Little cat castle. Right. Thank you very much, and you have a wonderful day, Melissa. I appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, you too. Bye-bye.
Well, you've been listening to Everything Home, and we were talking with Melissa Gable, and she's over at the Foothills Animal Rescue in North Scottsdale, and they do some amazing work. So if you're interested in volunteering, if you're interested in maybe adopting a little cat or a dog, they're a great facility. They're very well run. They're very interactive in the community. So we'll have all their contact information on our website, which is everythinghomepodcast.com. And really appreciate you listening to another episode. We're on the air every Tuesday and Friday. So make it a great day, everybody.
You've been listening to Everything Home with Michelle Swinnett.